the only way to demonstrate that Christianity is the best of all faiths is to show that it produces the best of all men.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We continue our study of the theme of personal evangelism. For several weeks, we've been discussing this concept. We've looked at the very beginning of our study at the concept of preparing for biblical evangelism. And we've seen that there are two basic ideas that are essential to that preparation. One, there were some essential motivations that we sought to convey, how critical it is to understand these motivational factors that God has built right into the narrative of the New Testament and into the very nature of our being since we become Christians, the essential motivations. And then, looking at the essential method in New Testament biblical evangelism, we saw that there were two prongs to that method. One, there was the necessity of building a living contact with men, without which we will have no audience to whom to bear our witness. And then secondly, and underlying that, we saw the necessity of building a living contact with God, without which we will have no message to bear to our audience. And both of these are very significant facets of the essential method of biblical evangelism. One, a living contact with men. And secondly, a living contact with God. When we preach that kind of a message, what we are really saying is that Christian witness involves not only verbalization, it involves that. We must verbalize, we must speak the message. If we do not speak the message, no one will ever come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it involves not only a verbalization, but also a demonstration. I mean by that that Christian witness must be supported by a Christian lifestyle. Christian witness is not only something that is vocal, it is also something that is visual. It is not something that the unsaved simply hear. It is something that they must also see in our everyday life. Christian witness must be supported by a Christian lifestyle in the various contexts of life. For example, in our business life, let me give you just several examples here as I see them in the New Testament. In our business life, Paul reprimanded the Thessalonian Christians for having become irresponsible in their business affairs. And then he admonished them, if you would look there in 1 Thessalonians 4, he admonished them, study to be quiet and to do your own business, verse 11, and to work with your own hands. And then he tells them why this is so important. I want your Christian witness to be supported by a Christian lifestyle, particularly in the realm of your business life. He tells them in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 12, I want you to do this in order that you may walk honestly or decently or becomingly or in good form, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. If you're ever to make an impact on those outside of the church, if you're ever to effectively witness to them for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be reputable and honest and upright in your business practices. No Christian, Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 and 12, no Christian who conducts his business irresponsibly can ever hope to witness effectively. Every Christian must commend Christianity to the outsider by the diligence and the beauty of his life. They don't only want to hear what you have to say, they want to see what you have to demonstrate on a daily basis in your Christian experience. Every Christian must commend Christianity to the outsider by the diligence and the beauty of his life. A religion is known by the kind of men, by the kind of women that it produces. Wisdom is justified of her children, the Lord Jesus said. The only way to demonstrate that Christianity is the best of all faiths is to show that it produces the best of all men. And that means even in our business world, in the business life. So Paul speaks very practically to those Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Not only must Christian witness be supported by a Christian lifestyle in our business life, but also in our social life. Being a human being requires maintaining human relationships, social contacts. And our ability to do this biblically, our ability to do it lovingly, our ability to do it appropriately will enhance our witness. So we're taught in the Scripture in this connection, give none offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles, says the Apostle Paul. And then he gives us the reason why we should do that. In order that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verses 32 and 33. Peter says essentially the same thing that Paul says. Peter says that we're to be having our conversation. And that's the old English word, conversation. It means our whole manner of life, the whole of our lifestyle. Having our conversation, our whole manner of life, honest among the Gentiles. Why is that so critical? Why is it so important? In order that, it's a purpose clause, in order that they may glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. What is a visitation? A visitation is a drawing near of God to deal with men, either in judgment or in mercy. God may draw near in a day of mercy to your friend. He may draw near to your relative. He may draw near to your neighbor. He may draw near to the man that you work with or the lady that you work with. In that day of visitation, as he approaches them in a spirit of mercy to woo them and draw them toward himself, in that day of visitation, will your friend and will mine be induced to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of our behavior, or will he not? Have your conversation honest, your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles in order that they may glorify God in the day of visitation. Every Christian, in a very real sense, is an advertisement for Jesus Christ. Every Christian must realize that God's reputation is at stake in his behavior. The strongest missionary force or evangelistic outreach in the world is a disciplined Christian life that is in tune with the Holy Spirit and is capable of presenting in a very logical and systematic way the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible would have us to know that Christian witness must be supported by a Christian lifestyle, not only in our business life, for you businessmen, and this is very critical, or in our social life and our everyday human relationships, giving none offense, walking honestly before them, but also in our home life. There's so much that could be said here, and I'm not going to take the time to develop this theme, but let me just say this, that Christ-centered Christian living, Christ-centered family living, will do more than anything else to open up opportunities of Christian witness. If there's any entity that is suffering more than anything else in our culture, it's the family. The whole institution of marriage is falling on hard times. The whole structure of the family is under attack, very sophisticated attack from the powers of evil and the intellectuals of our day. And people are crying out for a basis upon which to construct a meaningful family. And if you and I can, over the process of the years, develop a meaningful relationship with God that will filter down into our families so that we have a strong, healthy family where there is a spirit of harmony and a spirit of love and a spirit of oneness, that will open up powerful opportunities to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian witness must be supported by Christian lifestyle in our home life, our family life. And then finally, Christian witness must be supported by a Christian lifestyle in our church life. May I just suggest that before we can ever become effective in community evangelism as a local church, community evangelism must always be preceded by a corporate example in this local church. All too often, the behavior of certain churches is a contradiction of the very message that they preach. They're trying to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ, teaching them that he will fill up their lives with meaning and purpose and contentment and harmony and joy. But those are the very ingredients that so often are missing in a local church context. Community evangelism must always be preceded by a corporate example in our local church. I would like to suggest very briefly that three things are needful to release evangelistic power in a local church. And this is not an exhaustive list. This is just a skeletal outline. Three things are needful to release evangelistic power in a local church. One, we must be a praying church. This is a very critical and important part of our evangelistic ministry. We must be a praying church. We must be bringing into the presence of Christ in the ministry of intercessory prayer those who need our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is to pray for all men, the Bible says, that they might be saved. You read that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 1 to 4. Beyond that, the Bible says that the church is to pray for those who are called to preach. Those who stand behind the pulpit and proclaim the message of the gospel. Those who've gone to the regions beyond to propagate the gospel as missionaries and evangelists and pastors in various other parts of the land. We are to pray for them. So Paul requested, "Brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 1. One of those things that we must do to release evangelistic power in this local church is we must be a praying people, praying that all men might be saved, and praying for the servants of the Lord in a special way as they propagate the message of the gospel. Not only must we be a praying church, but we must be an orderly church. Have you ever thought about that? We must be an orderly church. We are not to rant and rave in our services. Do you know that's in the Bible? This was a major criticism against the Corinthians. Their church meetings were chaotic, especially in view of their constant abuse of the gift of tongues. So Paul warns them, if there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Paul says that only orderly meetings and spirit-filled proclamation of God's word can expect to have the blessing of God upon it in an evangelistic sense in a New Testament local church meeting. So we must be a praying church. We must be an orderly church, 1 Corinthians 14:25. And then the scripture would have us to know that we must be a loving church. Community evangelism was always to be preceded in the New Testament era by a corporate example of biblical love and unity among believers in the church. And our Lord promised us that two great effects would flow out from that example. If we become that loving and unified church, and defining those terms in biblical ways now, if we become that loving and unified church, our Lord said that two powerful results would grow out of that. One, he said that non-Christians would be forced to admit that these people really are Christians. They're true followers of Jesus Christ. He said that in John 13, verses 34 and 35. By this shall all men know, they will be convinced that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And then he said beyond that, that non-Christians would become convinced that Jesus Christ was the God-sent Savior of the world. He said that in John 17, in verses 21 and 23. When they saw this unique phenomenon of a body of people coming together in a spirit of harmony and love and unity based on the principles of the Bible, when they saw that kind of an environment developing and emerging in this local church, the scripture says that they would be convinced that God had really sent Jesus, that Jesus was precisely who he claimed to be, because only a God-sent Jesus could produce such a powerful phenomenon in the lives of human beings who are otherwise racked by the ugly influences of sin. So there are these four areas, and I wanted to touch on those briefly, and I missed them last week, these four areas in which we are to practically demonstrate our living contact with God. Our Christian witness is to be supported by Christian lifestyle in our business life, in our social life, in our home life, and in our church life.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The hand of God, which gently moves the sinner toward Christ, is released into activity by our prayers.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.